The following interview has been conducted as part of the Ethical Media for Active Citizenship project, which aims to create awareness among media producers of the importance of ethical approaches to the production of media content.
I'm Michael Foley, I'm Vice Chair of the NUJ's Ethics Council, and I'm a former journalist with the Irish Times, and I'm Professor Emeritus at the School of Media at what is now called Technological University, Dublin.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the NUJ.
The NUJ is a trade union for journalists and allied workers. It includes public relations people, it includes copy takers in advertising agencies, and you know, mainly reporters, sub-editors, photographers. It was established in 1908, and it was set up in opposition to a lot of what would have been seen as professional bodies, and it was set up as a trade union. Its primary function is paying conditions of its members, but it does recognize that journalism is slightly different than maybe bricklaying or any other job that might be would be in a trade union, in that it has an ethical and professional dimension. In 1936, it established what I think is the world's first code of conduct for journalists, set up because there was a fear amongst journalists that the employers were pushing their own, mainly in Britain this was, mainly conservative agendas, and they needed something to what they felt was to protect what journalists are meant to be doing, which is, you know, in the public interest and whatever. That code of conduct has existed with changes over the years to reflect changes in societies, and then finally they set up an ethics council, which I'm on, and the ethics council's job is to promote the code of conduct, to their journalist employees abide not just to instructions from management, but to a wider code of conduct, which reflects that journalists operate within the public interest very broadly. So that's what the NUJ operates both in Britain and Ireland. Equally makes us an interesting international union, that we cross borders. And we have branches in Brussels and Paris as well, and Netherlands. So we would see ourselves as broadly an international body, but obviously we're not in opposition to the International Federation of Journalists and other international bodies. But we are, I suppose we might say, we are an international body of mainly, although not exclusively, English-speaking journalists, although obviously we've got our Welsh members and our Scottish members and members in TG Cahar or whatever, but that broadly you can see where it comes from. Yeah.
So I suppose that at the moment you represent journalists, and for the job of journalists is becoming more and more difficult with all this demand for instant news, producing news online, etc., etc. So how do you think this is impacting in the work of journalists and their approach to ethics in journalism?
Well, I'm old enough to refer to something called the new technologies, which of course is nonsense at this stage. But what has occurred with the sort of online media and the World Wide Web has impacted on journalism hugely. But journalism, in a way, has always been affected and changed by technologies, whether it was sort of the printing press or radio, television, whatever. What it's done to journalism is, I suppose, in a way, it's less easy to define who a journalist is. When I entered journalism, it was quite clear who a journalist was. A journalist was somebody employed by a newspaper, a radio, or a television station, went out with a notebook and talk to people and whatever. That was a journalist. Now everyone sort of feels they can do journalism. I mean, people have, you know, they've got blogs. They're online. They're reviewing products. There's mummy blogs and there's this blog. And all these people, you could say, are doing journalism of one form or other. The issue is, are they journalists? And I think that's the distinction we probably have to make today. And I think that increasingly the way we will define a journalist is somebody who adheres and understands what might be broadly seen as an ethical code. When you look at people who are called, say, influencers, who you say, well, they're like journalists. They broadcast, you know, reviews of products and whatever. And you say, well, but are they ethical about it? And probably not. And they don't need to be, in a way. Their followers are not looking for that. But journalists are people who are meant to operate within the public interest, not a private interest, not the interest of a particular product or a particular company or a particular politician. They're meant to say, my job is to act in the public interest. And that is the difference, I think. Now, whether every member of the NUJ understands that and does it, probably not. Do they all operate within strictly in the public interest? Probably not. But that, if they don't, well, then it's going to be difficult to defend what journalists do into the future and how you differentiate journalists from other, from people who do some form of journalism. So I think the notion of ethics has become increasingly important, and I think will increasingly become that which distinguishes journalists from people who do something that looks like journalism. People who operate a blog, it's usually about opinion. It's usually because they've read something that a journalist has written, that they've got an opinion that they then put out on their blog. So you still need the people who are going to make sure that somebody is held to account, whether it's a judge in a district court or whether it's a politician in Leinster House or it's a public official or a local councillor. They are going to be covered by journalists. No one else is going to do it. So then you say, well, how do we trust them and why do we listen to them? Well, they do it because they will claim that they have a code of conduct and they're ethical. They have a system where people can make complaints that is free. They can get some sort of redress, not money, but they can get redress. And if what they have is a genuine complaint, it's not about making money. It's about getting your complaint dealt with in a way that's satisfactory. And I think the system does work. Whether it's robust to carry on working in the face of technological change, I don't know. I think there are issues around that. I think there's probably enough. There's probably good education in colleges for those who take up journalism courses. I would be loath to say that every journalist should do a journalism course. I think freedom of the press and freedom of speech means that anyone should have the opportunity, from wherever they come from, to become journalists. And I do think, although I was teaching journalism for 16 years, I do think that the growth in journalism courses has, of course, meant that journalism has become less diverse, that it's becoming increased much more middle class than it was even when I went in, because when I entered journalism, not everyone had a university degree at all. Now everyone will have one, because why would you take somebody on who hasn't been trained? Elements of the press, I think the natural reaction might be to where there's a rule, you find a way around it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but you just got to be careful, I suppose, that you know, there are ethical issues and there are issues about trust and there are issues about accuracy that have to be maintained.
The NUJ also provides journalists with a defense mechanism, isn't it? If they feel that they are put under pressure by the media that they are working for to publish, to produce content that doesn't reflect what you were saying, the reality, they can always come to the NUJ and you have mechanisms to help them.
We hope we do. The code of conduct allows journalists to refuse to do something. We're given an instruction that they feel is contrary to the code of conduct. And if journalists does that, we will come in to defend them. We don't like going to court. It's not what trade unions do. We would prefer that things were solved either by negotiation and whatever, or in the worst case, I suppose, industrial action. Sometimes, of course, it's difficult to take industrial action in areas where we're not recognised. And we have taken court cases. We're taking one at the moment for the woman in the BBC over equal pay. So we are willing to go to court, but we do it, to be honest, quite reluctantly. And the problem is, of course, that we know when we're right because we've got a code of conduct, but judges don't always agree with us. they represent something else quite often. So, you know, going into court is always a little bit of a lottery. So, and it's also, of course, incredibly expensive. So the case would have to have wider implications to take a court case to defend somebody. Yeah. But, you know, I think that somebody refusing to do something because they feel it interferes with their ethical stance, yeah, we would take, you know, we would support that.
When it comes to the how the media represents minorities, do you think that maybe the lack of diversity in newsrooms and editorial teams may have an impact?
Yes, it does. It does, absolutely. And I think we recognize this because we recognize it in terms of women. So, when I was starting journalism, there was a view there should be more women. Now, I worked in the Irish Times, which at the time wasn't bad at all in terms of diversity, in terms of gender. So if we recognize it in terms of gender, we've got to say, well, hold on, why did we recognize it in terms of gender? Because we felt that women weren't necessarily recognized or in the media. So therefore, it must apply to everybody else. And I do have to say, I really look forward to the day when you see sort of women in hijabs in newsrooms or black faces in newsrooms. That hasn't happened yet. And partly, I think, it's because of the middle-class entry. I think that a lot of what we now call sort of the new Irish haven't come through yet, although when I was in DIT, I did notice a lot of black faces in other faculties. So what they're, you know, this would have been the children of the first generation to come to Ireland. But I do think something has to be done about diversity in newsrooms. I think that the Irish newsrooms are very white, whereas the society out there is becoming more mixed, and journalism should reflect that.
This interview was produced as part of the EMAC project and co-financed by the European Commission's Erasmus Plus programme.